Good morning. Well, praise God for that. That's the best good morning I've heard for a long time. Bible tells us in Romans 8 that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And it lists a whole host of different things. And then it finishes off with a scripture that says that we are more than overcomers through Christ who strengthens us. That's a good reason to be joyful and to know that if you're born again, that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you have a position with God in heaven for eternity. There are scientists saying today that they're on the cusp of giving mankind eternal life. What fools they turn out to be. The Bible tells us clearly it is appointed unto man once to die and then judgment. The only eternal life that there is comes through Jesus Christ. And if you're born again, that's for you. The eternal life that goes forever and ever and ever with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Pastor Michael has been preaching for a while about Noah and the times of Noah. I don't want to go over that again. But it's a precursor to what I want to share this morning. I was very alarmed, as maybe you would have also if you'd seen the news yesterday or over the last couple of days. The largest city in Australia celebrating sin. I don't know what God's judgment is going to be upon that city. Maybe he'll send someone like he sent Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach repentance. And I was horrified to see the scout movement marching or preparing to march with rainbow colours all over the place. Baden Powell would turn in his grave. A Christian man who set up a Christian organisation which has been hijacked by sin. And they're not on their own. We had the leader of our opposition in federal government standing up proudly saying, this is a good thing. Where are we heading, people? We're heading closer to the end times. But I don't want to talk about the end times. One of the things the scout movement was known for was being prepared. And that's what my message is about this morning. Being prepared. In Matthew 24 begins the first 30-odd verses speaking about signs of the end age. Then it goes on about the day and the hour unknown, that we don't know when Jesus is coming back again. But if we look at the signs given, look at this and look where we are today, we must be getting closer. It's been some 2,000 years since Jesus went to the cross and rose again. Pastor Michael pointed out that before the flood there was about 1,500 years of grace. Well, since the flood there's been 4,500 years of grace, if you follow the biblical plan for man, not what the scientists tell us. It's not billions of years. And then it goes on in chapter 25 and says, at that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time coming. We're still waiting. He's a long time coming. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Are we drowsy and falling asleep today in our relationship with God? Are we so-so? Thinking about what the world does, what the world says, and what God says and what the Word says. It was mentioned to us that in the last days people would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They were drowsy and fell asleep. We cannot afford as Christians to be drowsy and fall asleep. We need to stay awake. Because another place it talks about a thief. And if the man knew when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake so that he didn't come in and take what he had. The thief today is Satan. The Bible says to us clearly that he comes to kill, to rob and destroy. That's what he's about. That's his purpose, is to kill, to rob and destroy anything that God's doing in the earth. And it looks, when you look around, he's having a heyday. When you look outside of the walls of the church, it's not a nice place to live. Yet I'm still amazed by God's creation. Absolutely amazed. And then I see during the week that scientists are jumping up and down again. They think they've discovered three planets in a universe that are Earth-like, that a right distance from the sun could support life. But it's so far away, we'll never, ever get there. We'll get to heaven before they'll actually get to these places. How foolish are they? They spend billions and billions of dollars on this stuff. And yet, through the Sudan and other places, we're having them declare famines again. It's one of the signs of the second coming of Jesus, there will be famines in different places. It's been nearly 10 years since we've had a famine on the earth. And then I hear there's a glut of wheat in the earth today, that all the grain producing nations of the earth have produced so much wheat that they're dumping it. Why don't they dump it in Sudan? You go to Italy and they waste tons and tons and tons of tomatoes so they can have a street fight. Why don't they take them to Sudan? Just recently, they had another place in Europe, they had an orange fight where they wasted tons and tons and tons of oranges. They did a similar thing with watermelons. There should be no need for a famine in the earth today. Are we drowsy and asleep at the wheel? Verse 6 says, at midnight the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out and meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." Have you got enough oil in your lamp? Have you got a few jars of oil to go along with it? Or are you like these foolish ones? Not enough oil in the lamp. Spending most of their life chasing worldly things, worldly attitudes, being lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. God warns us to be prepared. The five wise ones said, "No, there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins that were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others also came, saying, "Sir, sir, open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you." We tend to put so much emphasis, on about us knowing God. Well, this scripture says, does God know you? It's not about us knowing God, it's whether God knows us. That's a scary thing. It should be enough to scare us into action. in doing what Luke said at the beginning of the year, to get deeper commitment to all things. This communion thing, that's prophetic. It's a warning to the church. It's a warning to you and me. More prayer. Better involvement with God. Better attitudes. And more love in your heart. People, you've got to get your attitude right. Got to stop looking at the circumstances around you and continue to look to God. The last time I preached, it was pretty negative because I had my eyes on the circumstances around me instead of on God. Thank God He brought me to attention to stop looking at the circumstances, because I can't do a damn thing to change it. Only He can. Only He can. And He has. I've already quoted the scripture. I am a more than an overcomer through Christ who strengthens me. Doesn't matter about the crap that's going on in your life. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I have a place with Jesus. He's my inheritance. And I'm His inheritance. What a fantastic thing. That's what you need to be happy about. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Joyful. I mean, one day we could come in here and say, look, let's all get gay. But sin has robbed us of that word. I really get annoyed when I see this rainbow stuff. The rainbow is a sign from God that He's never going to flood the earth again. It's a promise in that. And these sinners have robbed it from us. Verse 13 says, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Keep watch is to be, it's a challenge to us to be constantly and eagerly watching for His return. Are we eagerly, constantly looking for His return? Luke mentioned about us being in a season of Mad March. Well, we have the V8s on in Adelaide. And there's lots of people that love V8s. We'll pray for him afterwards. But he's not gone to the V8s, he's here in church. If I was a betting man, I would say though some of these empty seats of people are down at the V8s instead of being here in church. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And they always find an excuse for that. It's okay. Our duty in preparedness is twofold. Firstly, we need to be preparing ourselves as a bride, spotless and without wrinkle, being prepared and looking for Jesus coming. And I thought about that spot and without wrinkle. And I can remember having shirts ironed years ago. Most shirts today are drip dry and you don't need to iron them. Some shirts you still need to iron. But if they're done properly, they are spotless and there's not a wrinkle anywhere. That's what Jesus is looking for us as part of His bride. To sort out the wrinkles, get rid of the spots. Preparing. The other part of that is that we need to be doing business until he returns. And what's it mean to do business? It's not someone running a business selling cars. It's the business of the kingdom, as we've been encouraged week after week after week. Just as before Noah, they were marrying and doing business until it started to rain. And we're required to do the same thing. Not sit back and enjoy ourselves. Not to sit back and let other people do it. Because the call that's on my life is mine. And there's no one in here or anywhere else that can do that. We might think if we don't do it, God will find someone else. But they're only fulfilling their call, not mine. You know, we say all the time, we want to hear God say when we get to heaven, "Well done, good and faithful servant." People have joked about having a mansion or a tin shed down the bottom of the block. I don't see tin sheds mentioned in Scripture. Jesus said, "I've gone to prepare a room for those that are his." And I don't see any reference to some rooms being bigger than the others. Because Jesus treats us all the same. And part of our preparedness is we need to treat one another all the same. We've got to stop judging one another. That's part of our preparedness. We've got to love one another as Jesus loves us. One thing I've realized, I can lie to every one of you people and you wouldn't know it. But I can't lie to God. I can say that I'm working on a deeper commitment to all things. I can say that I pray more. I can say I'm better involved with God. I have a better attitude. I have more love in my heart. Only two people know whether that's true or not. That's me and God. In the prayer room this morning, a scripture came out that says that out of the mouth proceeds the intent of your heart. And it's not the things we say in here. It's the things we say during the week. We'll show you and others where you're at, what your attitudes are. So let us, if you're not prepared, begin your preparation. And as we see here, having oil in your lamp is not enough. They trimmed their lamps. And as they trimmed their lamps, the suggestion is to trim their lamps means to be beautify, to decorate, to furnish, embellish, adorn, put in order. So it's not just a matter of having the oil, you need to trim your lamps to adorn them with the presence of God. And the oil you need in your lamps is that relationship with God. It needs to grow continually. If you're in a position where you think you're okay where you're at, don't be foolish, but become wise. Because as we prepare for God's coming, we'll be invited in. Don't want to be left on the outside. I've been left on the outside in this life a few times. It's not a nice place to be. So all I can do is to encourage your people, God's people, to remember if you're born again, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it's already been spoken this morning that all things are possible to those who believe. That I'm more than overcomer through Christ who strengthens me. And his joy is my strength. And if I take my eyes off Jesus, I can fall down pretty quickly. We've probably all been there at some stage or other during our lives. But praise be to God, he's given us a Holy Spirit that lives within. He's given us a spiritual family that will come alongside and not only pray for us, but encourage us. Sometimes we need to kick up the pants and we need to receive it with grace and move on. I know someone who came under a bit of discipline and saw it as punishment, not discipline. God doesn't punish us. Jesus took our punishment on the cross, but he certainly disciplines us. Just as it's written, it's been appointed unto man once to die and then judgment. Also says that through Christ that we have passed from death to life. We're alive forevermore. Not stuck in this frail thing, because it's going to break down. Mine's already broken down. Others have had problems where their body breaks down. But Jesus didn't come to save this thing. He came to save the soul. And the spirit's eternal anyway. But as impossible as it may sound, one day he's going to reunite all three. This broken body, this broken soul, and the broken spirit that used to be. As part of his bride. I find that a bit strange. That one day I'm going to be a bride. But if you think in earthly terms, that's where you're at. Bible says that in Christ there is neither male nor female. But we're all one in Christ. There's no more marrying or taking of marriage in heaven except between the bride and Christ. I don't even try to understand that. I accept it. I just accept it. There's so many things in God that in this life, I'll never understand. But in faith in God, I accept it, whatever the outcome may be. So people, clock's gone. Probably a good thing. No, I've got a dinner appointment that I can't go over time. But God always encourages us to be ready, being prepared and continually preparing. Don't get so far and say, I've got there, because that's not enough. We've got to continue to prepare for Jesus coming again. Because I'm sure every one of you, like me, want to hear him say, the door's open, come in. I also want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, we can fool ourselves and think being involved in worldly things and worldly attitudes that they're going to cut it with God. Those people are ones without oil in their lamps. And there's a real possibility that when the Lord comes, the doors will be shut. Father, I thank you this morning that, Lord, in this life it's not a bed of roses and we're not always happy. But, Lord, we can always have the joy of the Lord. Father, you encourage us day by day in your word, Lord, to continue to prepare for your coming. There's a bit of scripture in Matthew 24 there that says that heaven and earth will pass away, but your words will never pass away. So Lord, as we take on board this morning the encouragement of your word to continue to prepare for your coming, Lord, we know that it's not too far away. Don't know when, don't know how. But Lord, the signs are gathering like the clouds on a thundery storm as they gather in the skies. So Father, help us, Holy Spirit. If we get a bit negative, give us a kick up the pants, that we get our act together and start preparing again for your coming. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.